the David instead of Daniel the entire time. But I met Daniel, and we talked about Daniel last week. So, you know, I must have had David on the brain through all the study. But how many of you know God is good? Amen? And I'm just looking forward to talk about being a difference. And we kicked off with talking about how Daniel made a difference in Babylon. That Daniel found himself in a position in Babylon to where he was had the ears of kings. And he lived through four different kings over 70 years in service over two empires. How many of you know Daniel was a person of influence, a person who made a difference? Amen? Amen? There we go. Yes. Okay, good. Good. Come on, y'all. Talk back. Talk back a little bit. It's okay, yeah? So today we're going to talk about what really makes a difference in our service to the kingdom. Let's pray over the word, and then we'll jump into it this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are not a silent God, but you're still speaking today. You speak through the Spirit. You speak through the word. I pray today that both would be speaking. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, somebody say, amen. All right, we're going to be kicking off this morning. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verse 6. This is going to be our scripture. It says, and here's what one thing I want you to key in on this verse. For while we were still weak, how many of you have ever felt weak before? Right? Am I the only person who's ever felt weak? Right? Usually it's about 8:30 at night when I'm starting to feel weak and I just want to go to bed. It used to not be so. Man, I used to be like 3 o'clock in the morning and now it's like 6:30 and I'm like, can we go to bed yet acceptably? Is this okay? Yeah, crazy. I used to only need like 3 hours of sleep a night. Now I need like all the hours. Okay. But we see right here, for while we were still weak, at the right time. I want everybody, let's just say that together. Let's say it. Say, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. How many of you know timing is everything? Yeah? At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And this is an important. So we're going to talk about what really makes a difference in the lives of people. There are many solutions in our world, and there are many people who are trying to sell products that claim they have the ability to change your life. How many of you have ever watched television before? How many of you know there's a commercial where somebody's always trying to sell you something to change your life? Amen? It's either, they say, we've got what's going to make the difference. It's either a new piece of technology, or it's a new piece of laundry detergent, or it's a new diet fad, or it's a new gym, or it's a new line of clothing. It's a what's the one we saw yesterday? This pillow will change your life. And I was tempted. Where they're always saying that they're always trying to sell us something. The list is unending, and everybody's trying to sell a quick fix, and there's always something that they're trying to say, this will make a difference, and this will be a quick fix, and this will solve all your problems. How many of you know that's just not true? Amen? That's just not true. Man, we live in a society that is built on consumerism, and we just keep thinking, if I could just have the newest, latest, greatest. We were talking yesterday, and you know, with Steve, and we were talking about the new iPhone's about to come out. It's going to have 3 cameras in it. Why? Because 3 is better than 2. Exactly. That's the only answer there is, right? And I will buy it. I promise you I'll buy it because God said so. I'm just kidding. He did not say so. But we're always looking for something to make a difference, something to make it better. But how many of you know that new iPhone or that new vehicle or that new latest, greatest gadget, eventually the effectiveness wears off and we're still left with problems? Amen? How many of you know technology has made our world better in many respects, but how many of you know technology has made our world very complicated? In many respects. Amen? what the world often focuses on is on what people want, but not necessarily what they need. Amen? The world wants to sell things to us we don't need with the promise that it will change our lives. Getting what we want and what we think we need may change our life for just a moment. but it cannot make a godly and it cannot make an eternal difference. You guys okay? See, God wants us to use all Christian believers, all of us as the church, to facilitate in this world what can really make a difference to the real spiritual needs and to the eternal purpose and destinies of people. God is saying that, listen, what the church really, or excuse me, what the world really needs is me, and I left my church, come on, to be the difference in the world. Now, I'm going to contend that maybe we're not making the difference we should. Let's not be afraid to look at ourselves for a moment. Many of you know that true change starts when we come to the reality of understanding of where we're at. Right? At some point, you got to look yourself in the mirror and you're going to have to tell the truth. Right? I know we all hate it and I know it's ugly and I know it hurts. But are we the church being the difference that God called us to be? I contend, maybe, in some areas, but I believe that God called us to be more. Amen? You guys okay? Listen, Jesus did not die so that we can have nice programs in a country club atmosphere. Jesus died and rose again so that broken people could be saved, so that the hurt could be healed, the lost could be reached, and that the church would make a difference in the world. Did you know that for a period of time that the church was the center of all community? As a matter of fact, if you go throughout towns, particularly in Europe, that at the center of every town is a church. And the church used to be where people went for education. The church used to be where people went to whenever they had needs. The church used to be the center of all town. It used to be the center of life. If they needed news, if they had to have a meeting, they met at church. There's a period of time where that was true. The church was the center of culture. The church was the center of art. Right? Come on. How many beautiful pieces of art were done in the church? But at one point, something happened. It shifted from where the church was the place of influence to where the world became the place of influence. Yeah? How many of you know that I believe that God is calling us once again to be in a position of influence in the world? Amen? Christians need to take care not to offer ready-made spiritual solutions and advice in the way of formulas or convenient prophetic words. I know that was a tough statement I just made, didn't it? Wasn't it? Isn't it too often that we offer just trite advice? And every once in a while, we prophesy instead of prophesy. You know what I mean by that? It's when we begin to give words because they're convenient. And they're manipulative, but they're not true. Oh, Lord, forgive us for prophesying. Come on. Let us prophesy in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us declare the word. Let us declare truth. Let us be the place, the voice of truth into the world. You guys okay this morning? Somebody say amen? All right. The question we have to ask ourselves is what really makes a God kind of difference? And there are a few practical, but there are spiritual elements that are absolutely vital in making a godly difference in the world. So today I want to look at a few of them. And the first point I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about point number one, relevance. Relevance. How many of you know relevance matters? How many of you know we have actually lost what the idea of what relevance actually means? If you've ever sat in a class with me when I do some of our vision class, I talk about relevance a little bit because this word has been hijacked. We tend to think of relevance in the church setting as, is it cool? Right? Is it cool? Is it trendy? Is it up on culture? Is it, come on, hear what I'm saying? But that's not actual relevance. You know, when I think of relevance, I think of this. And I'll use this example. Dr. Jeff's sitting right here. When I'm sick, when my body needs healing, Dr. Jeff might be one of the most relevant people in my life. Somebody say amen to that, right? Right? And guess what? I don't care. He's pretty cool. but I don't care how cool he is when I'm sick. You guys all right? How many of you know that that doesn't matter? How many of you, when you're broken down on the side of the road, care how cool and hip and trendy your mechanic is? And if you do, then why? The question you ask is, can he fix my car? How many of you know relevance has more to do with meeting needs than it has to do with appearance? Relevance has nothing to do with style. Style is preference. Relevance is impact. Does that make sense? And when your life is in shambles, and you're broken, and you're hurting, what's most relevant to you is somebody who knows the answers and can lead you to the person of Jesus to find him. Amen? See, when someone is thirsty, you don't give them salt. Right? And using the correct tool for the job is essential. You can't, listen, if you try to cut down a huge tree with a handsaw, it's not going to work. You need a more relevant tool. You need something that is appropriate for the job at hand. Guys, what I want us to be as a church body is I want us to be a church of relevance, biblical relevance, that we are a people, that we are raising up people who know how to be the answer to the questions that the world is asking. How do we point them to Jesus? How do we point them to truth? How do we lead them not in our opinions, but in biblical truth? How do we make relevant impact? Guys, it's amazing to me. I did youth ministry for a long time. You guys know I love teenagers, man. Believe it or not, I do. And what I found when I started being a youth pastor was I just tried to make everything cool. The first little bit, everything I did was I tried to make it cool. But then I realized I was never going to be cool enough anyway. So then it was like, you know what? Why don't we just care? Why don't we just begin to care? And to this day, I have students who are now approaching 30 years old. Ouch. That come back to me and they said, Pastor James, you always cared. Didn't matter how cool we were. What was relevant was when that young man was hurting because his parents were going through a divorce and he didn't know who he was, that I was there. And I was there speaking life and saying, it's going to be okay because Jesus loves you. We had a visit the other day from a student of ours who now is on staff at a massive mega church. And he came by and visited the other day, and my heart just jumped inside when he came in. And he was so excited to hear what we were doing and what was going on here. And he was so just enthusiastic. And he says, I think about you all the time. In the middle of this massive ministry, sending him all over the world, doing incredible things, he still had time to come by. Because what we said and what we did for him in his life was relevant in that moment. And it put him on a path to where his life, and he's been doing incredible, he's doing things I could have never have imagined in Jesus' name. Isn't that awesome? And that's what matters. Relevance was not because we had the coolest things going on. Relevance was because we cared more than anybody else did at the moment of his need. Amen? Relevance was the fact that he could show up at my house at 9:00 at night and walk in the door and cry. Because it's not cool for high school boys to cry. But he was hurting. And teenagers never want to talk early in the day. It's always like at 11:00 at night where they want to talk. But back in those days, my door was open at 11:00 at night. Yeah. spent a lot of years talking late. That's why I'm early to bed now. So you guys get my point with this? Relevance is about meeting the need at the moment and at the point of it. Amen? You guys okay? Second thing, timing. Timing. Somebody say timing. How many of you know timing is everything? Right? The right thing at the right time makes all the difference. Right? If I'm sad today, come on. If I'm sad today, I don't need comfort next week. I need it today. Right? You want to talk about a tremendous story in Scripture. How many of you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Right? The Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was the answer. He had the right timing. So what happened was you had somebody who was beaten, who was broken, who was in a mess on the side of the road, and everybody else passed by because it wasn't convenient. I'm going to tell you right now, it's never convenient. Making a difference is never convenient. You will never make a difference in a convenient moment. You might make a difference through consistent moments. But the point of need always arises. I'm going to tell you what, they showed up at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night. It was never during my office hours. Right? And so what happened? So many walked by the Samaritan. So many kept walking by the broken man. But yet it was the Samaritan who at the right time found him. And then at the right time took him to the innkeeper. And at the right time invested and said, I got to go, but I'm going to pay you for him and take care of him. And here's enough, and I'll pay you again when I get back. Amen? Timing means everything. Our scripture this morning, what did we even read? At the right time, Christ died for us. Amen? God is never too early. He's never too late. He's always right on time. Just think about this. I want you to think about Jesus with Lazarus. Remember the story of Lazarus, guys. Lazarus, who was loved by Jesus, who was ill and he was dying, and they sent a messenger to Jesus, and they say, come quick, Lazarus is dying, we need you, come quick. And what did Jesus do? He waited. How many of you know that's not very caring? It's not very loving. But Jesus waited. And then Jesus finished what he was doing, and then he left. And when he got there, they stopped him and said, don't worry about it. It's too late. Lazarus is dead. Well, how many of you know Jesus wasn't late? Because you all know how this story ends, right? Jesus wasn't late. See, according to the people, he was late. According to the people, he had shown up too late, and the hope that they had was dead. How many of you know we can feel like that sometimes, that the window for God has passed and our hope is dead? And it's interesting because it's in that scripture that it says that Jesus wept, right? I don't think he was weeping for Lazarus. This is complete my opinion, so please take it as that. It's not scripture, it's my opinion. There's a difference. I can be wrong, scripture is not. But in my opinion, I feel like he was weeping because of the unbelief and the loss that people were sensing. I think he felt the hurt. And then, of course, those great words came forward. Lazarus, come forth. And here comes popping out Lazarus. You know what's funny about that? Everybody thinks that Lazarus, like, stepped out like this. You know, like it was some majestic thing. He was wrapped up in grave clothes. It was probably more like this. He was having to hop his way out of the tomb because he was bound up. It actually said to him, go and cut the grave clothes off of him. Right? I mean, we can't Sunday school this stuff, right? You like to think it came out in this beautiful, majestic moment and there was lights glowing and smoke coming from the tomb and like it was a Hollywood production. Like Lazarus was probably just trying not to fall over, getting out. But how many of you know that would have been an incredible sight to see? Amen? Timing matters. God is never too early. He's never too late. The third thing that we have to look at is the God factor. What makes a difference? The God factor. The right thing at the right time can make a real difference in people's lives. But the God thing in God's time makes an eternal difference. Amen? What does God want us to do? What does God need from us? What is God saying? Because too often we start meeting perceived needs and not real needs. And see, it's interesting because we pray for God to meet one need, but what happens is God meets a completely different one we didn't expect, but it turns out to be the right thing at the right time. That makes the difference. Guys, that's why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. To direct us to the God things, and that's my fourth point, is this, is we need not just the God factor, but we need the Holy Spirit difference in our life. See, the Holy Spirit, He's the one who leads us and guides us and shows us as the church what the God thing is in the God's timing. How we meet the need according to God's plan and God's purpose. We have to be a people who know how to listen and depend upon the Holy Spirit. And the entire central focus of this message is that we can only make a real difference if we are led by the Holy Spirit. We can't make a real difference if we're led by our opinions or our ideas or what we perceive. We have to be listening. We have to have an ear listening to what God is saying, listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and then we can begin to make a difference. Amen? You know, I was talking with a guy and recently that he does a lot of work for churches all over the world, and all over the United States. And he was talking about a pastor. And he said he'd taken a church, and it was a dying church, and he was a younger guy, and they were just like, what are we going to do? You know, the church is dying. What's going to happen? And so he prayed, and he went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, how do I make a difference in my community? Show me, lead me, guide me. And what he realized was this, that there was a high number of teenage pregnancy in his community. And it just was kind of, so he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to provide daycare. We're going to provide programs for these teenage mothers. We're going to invite them in. We're going to take care of their babies so they can go to work. We're going to minister to these single moms, and that's what we're going to do. And guess what ended up happening? These teenage moms, they started coming to the church. And then their parents started showing up saying, my daughter's completely different. What happened? And then they started coming to the church. Isn't that awesome? And the next thing you know, just by listening to the Holy Spirit and being the right thing at the right time, they began to minister to their community. And they said, this is a place where you're welcome to come in. And they had people come back and push back and say, how can you encourage this? We're not encouraging anything. The babies are already here. We're just taking care of what's already here. We're not encouraging, you know, for babies to be born out of wedlock to teenage girls. That's not what we're encouraging. We're just taking care of what's already here. Amen? And they began to burst at the seams. So much so, other churches came to them and started saying, can you take us over? And now they're in multiple locations because they heard the God thing at the God time. Amen? And they listened to the Holy Spirit, and they began to make a difference. They did so without judgment, without reservation. Isn't that awesome? Man, listening to the Holy Spirit can lead us to things that make a difference. Amen? See, the Holy Spirit, He knows the real needs of people, and He knows how to address them. When it comes to the level of our involvement, we should not be need-led. Hear what I'm saying. You cannot be what you perceive to be the need to be led as. You can't be sympathy-led. Too often, we're led by our sympathies. And we end up throwing away resource. Hear me. Hear what I'm about to say. We can't be experience-led or led by our senses. We must be spirit-led to make a real kind of difference. Not every need needs to be solved by you. Only the ones the Spirit leads you to. You can't fix it all. You have to focus on your assignment. Is this okay? Not every church is going to be able to minister to young ladies and like that church did, right? But they were there. Too often we feel like we've got to do things just because everybody else is doing it. No, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit, right? So that means give where the Holy Spirit tells you to give. Amen? Be directed where he tells you to serve. Right? If he tells you to serve in the nursery, if he tells you to serve in the ushers, be an usher, then be an usher. Do that, right? Don't jump in the nursery because you just are sympathetic to what's going on back there. By the way, we need called nursery workers. And I say that because I don't want anybody working with our kids who doesn't have a heart to be there. Do me a favor, do something else. But if you are called to be there, don't be afraid of the job. Go do it. Because God will bless you and God will bless them because you're there. Amen? When I was a youth pastor, we were successful. I mean, we had a lot of kids that showed up to our youth program. I mean, we did a great job. And I had people asking me all the time, can I come? Can I serve? Can I be a part of what you're doing? I turned more people away than you could possibly imagine, even when we needed help, because I knew the Holy Spirit wasn't leading them there. Come on. They just wanted to be a part of something that was successful. And I was like, you can't, you know. I needed the help, but I'm like, nope, we're good. Not because I'm trying to be cruel, but because I didn't want to release anything on our teenagers. Come on. To where people who didn't really want to be there and they just wanted to be a part of something successful. I needed people that would show up and invest. You guys okay? We have to be directed and led by the Holy Spirit to do what we do. Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a moment. The ministry of the Holy Spirit through us will really make a difference. We need his leading. And what we need his leading for is to know this. A few things, and I'm going to close on this. First of all, the Holy Spirit needs to lead us to tell us what to do. How many of you know it's good to know what to do? How many of you know it's a great place to start? Right? You got to start with the what. Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm called to do? Where I am in this position to make a difference. See, the what is different for all of us. See, the what for me is to do what I do right now. But the what for you could be to show up at your place of business and to serve your community through your gifts, talents, and abilities. Amen? The what for you could be to be a good business owner. The what for you could be to be a good employee, a good parent. How many of you know the what for you is definitely to be a good parent? The what for you is definitely to be a good spouse. Amen? We got to get a hold of the what's. What are the things that the Holy Spirit is directing us to do? Not what are the things you wish he would tell you to do. Come on. What are the things he is telling you to do? We have to be able to do that. We got to know the what. What is it? The right action and the correct word, the right now word from God for the person or situation. This gives us the insight and the ability to act. And we can't go and we can't move forward without knowing the what. But then we have to understand not just what, when. When? How many of you know God has timing? Right? I knew God had called me into ministry many, many, many years ago. Actually, I fought it for about a decade, if I'm honest. Didn't want to do it. Wanted to do something else. I wanted a different what. And I kept going back to God. Are you sure that's the what we're supposed to be doing? But then it was a matter of when. How many of you know I didn't receive the call into ministry and that day go print some cards and start walking out and saying, I'm now senior pastor, whatever. Because there was no church. There were no people. Just because you print it on a card doesn't make it so. Come on. You wouldn't believe how many people have handed me a card that says, I'm Apostle so-and-so. And I'm like, yes, yeah, says who? Says who? Then there comes the when. The right time. For at the right time, Christ died for us. How many of you know Genesis didn't happen, the fall of Genesis didn't happen, and Jesus didn't show up immediately? Because the time wasn't right yet. But at the right time, he showed up. And at the right time, God will open the door. And at that right time, you got to go through it. And so don't grow weary in doing good. For at the right time, you shall reap a harvest if you do not give up. Amen? And everybody knows the last one. How? Isn't that the big question? I know what, I know when. How do we do it? How do we make it happen? Because even if we have the right response at the right time, it needs to be motivated from God's heart and delivered by His love in order to make a real difference. Throwing a piece of food at a hungry person, it may end their hunger, but it won't touch their heart. See, what has to happen is when we do it, the Holy Spirit's going to have to give us a genuine and love and compassion for the people He's called us to. Thinking about that young man showing up at my house late at night because his heart was hurt. And he had stepped in between a fight between his parents. I could have opened my door and done my job, and because I was the youth pastor and I had to. And I could have just heard him out, and I could have just pushed him out the door as fast as possible just so I could go to bed. But I knew what I needed to do. And now was the time. And how I went about that job was going to be whether or not the difference that made it or break it. Amen? So I could have thrown him a few platitudes and pushed him out the door. But what he needed was to be heard. And what he needed was someone who had compassion for him. What he needed was somebody to put an arm around his shoulder. He wasn't a hungry man who just I could throw a sandwich at and be done my way. The difference is really made in that moment where people feel the tangible touch and presence of a living God through you. Amen? It is in that moment when you become Jesus with skin on. And they don't need you to have all the answers. They don't need you to know all the scriptures and to have it all figured out. Sometimes they just need you just to care. Just care. Remember, Pastor Greg told me when I first started working for him and we would have to go visit people who were suffering loss. I always found that very hard because I'm a fix-it person. Anybody else a fix-it person? Like, I want to fix everything. But how do you fix things when you don't know how to fix them? And Pastor Greg, he gave me some of the best advice. He says, you don't have to fix anything. You just got to be there. Just got to be there. I have found most of life is about just being there. And if the church would just be there at the right place, at the right time, with the right heart, we would probably do so much more good in the world just by showing up. Amen? You guys okay today? Let's stand. I want to encourage you to be a person who connects authentically with other people. I want you to make a real difference and let the Holy Spirit work through you to do the God thing in His perfect timing. Titus 3:14 says this. It says, our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order to provide for the urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. We have to be committed and devote ourselves to doing what is good. Amen? We got to know the what, we got to know when, and we got to know how to do it. And the only way we can do that is if the Holy Spirit would help us to be productive in our communities. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, we are called to be the difference. You are called to be the difference for somebody. Every person in here, I don't care who you are, there is somebody that God has ordained your life to be the difference. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a lot of people in here who love Jesus who are standing here because God sent someone to be the difference in your life. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was somebody who believed in you, somebody who prayed for you, somebody who invited you. In my life alone, I can think of multiple people that because God put them in my life, because they showed up at the right time, they were the difference. And every single one of us gets to be the difference for somebody else. Amen? Will you rise to the challenge and allow God to use you to really be the church? See, church isn't about programs. You know what? I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to close. And we like to think church is about programs and connect groups and it's about men's studies and Bible and women's Bible studies, and it's about, you know, these days out and these building projects, and we like to think church is about those type of things. And it's true, those things can help serve the mission, but that is not what the church is for. Church isn't about programs. Programs are nothing but tools to help serve the purpose. Buildings are nothing but tools to serve the purpose. So if you get upset over the color of the carpet, please grow up. In Jesus' name, I love you. The carpet's just carpet. It doesn't make the church. Amen? The church is about us coming together and obeying the heart of a father who wants to add to his family. Amen? And who wants us to take care of the people that God puts in our way. And if youth programs will help that, then God bless our youth programs. Amen? If connect groups will help that, then God bless our connect groups. If men's studies and women's Bible studies will help that, yes and amen. Yes? But the moment we start making church about those things and not about really being the difference in the lives of people in our community, then we have lost the plot. Amen? So stay where God plants you and be the difference. Amen? Everybody okay? Let's pray. Father, I pray over every person in this building. I'm not even going to ask you to raise hands. I'm just going to declare it. Let them be the difference for somebody else. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would lead them, that you would have a relationship with them, and that you would show them what they are to do, when they're to do it, and how to do it. And I pray that we would be obedient and effective in doing so. And I pray, Father, that this community of Wise County would be blessed because the River Church is here. That our workspaces and the places of the marketplace and the highways and the byways would be made different because we show up. Use our lives. And forgive us, God, if we feel used. Use us to be the difference in this community. Real quick, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I should have closed 5 minutes ago. I'm so sorry. I'm just being obedient. I hope this is okay. I just really feel like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, there is somebody in this room. You are in a tremendous amount of pain. Emotional pain. It may even be manifesting itself physically. And the Holy Spirit just wants me to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up here, but with every head bowed and eye closed, would you just wave at me and let me just know? Amen. Okay. Okay. Many of you. How do we know the Holy Spirit's moving? Father, in Jesus' name, remove the pain. Come on, we don't need a flowery prayer here. Remove the pain in Jesus' name. Make it stop. Heal the hurts. God, do what only you can do. Oil of healing right now. Let it flow. Even now, to begin to feel the soothing. The soothing oil of the Holy Spirit begin to flow over. Father, I pray for hope, a restoration of joy. Truly turn their mourning into dancing. In Jesus' name. I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to those of you who raised your hand, I know what to do. I know when to do it. And I know how to do it. Trust me. Do not box me in according to your time schedule. For when I move, it will be undisputable. And it will be overwhelming. Complete victory in Jesus' name. Amen.